Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Lucy Hickmott.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, the 6th of March. First today, there are calls for younger children to be educated on the danger of knives after an 8-year-old boy was threatened in Margate. It happened at a school. Lauren has the details.
Jiag Bird, who's autistic, was eating lunch in the canteen at Cliftonville Primary School when another pupil grabbed his head and pressed a piece of cutlery to his throat. A dinner lady reportedly intervened to take the knife away, but Jiag was still left with a mark on his neck. We're told the metal knife in question was a piece of school cutlery given to children to eat their lunch with and wasn't sharp.
I understand the boy's dad has raised concerns about what happened.
Yes, Stephen says his son was really shaken by the incident and told his mum he was scared. They wanted the child responsible to be suspended and were worried the school wasn't taking it seriously enough. Jake's dad is also calling for children to be educated about the danger of knives at an earlier age.
What response have we had from the school?
Well, head teacher Claire Witchcourt says the matter was thoroughly investigated and appropriate follow-up actions were taken. She also told Stephen she delivered the most serious consequence for the pupil that was available to her. The school is rated outstanding by Ofsted. Kent Police say they regularly visit schools across the county to speak to children about any safety concerns.
Thanks, Lauren.
Kent Online reports.
A man in his 50s has died after a car overturned and landed in a ditch near Tunbridge. The vehicle left the A21 southbound carriageway between the Morley's roundabout and Quarry Hill yesterday afternoon. Emergency crews, including the air ambulance, were called, but the driver was pronounced dead at the scene. Two teenagers have been locked up for a stabbing in Gillingham, which left the victim needing life-saving treatment. The pair, who are 16 and 18, didn't know their victim when they attacked him in the High Street in March last year. They admitted wounding with intent and have both been sentenced to 4 years and 3 months behind bars. Now, the Chancellor's been setting out the government's spending plans as he delivers his spring budget. Jeremy Hunt announced a 2p cut to national insurance, which should make the average worker around £450 a year better off. There'll also be a new tax on vapes and a rise in tobacco duty. Meantime, a freeze on fuel duty will be extended. That's being welcomed by Howard Cox from Cranbrook, who's the founder of Fair Fuel UK.
I've been lobbying for the last 6 months, the Treasury, and with the help of some very good Tory MPs and peers, who we sent a letter to the Treasury, to Jeremy Hunt, calling him to cut it, in fact. So this half of me is very pleased it's not going up, keeping the 5p cut that Rishi Sunak introduced when he was Chancellor 2 years back. But I would like to see the cut. So it's good in parts. I'm happy that we're not putting more onto the cost of living for most hard-pressed drivers. But in essence, we could have gone further.
So how much further would you like it to go?
Well, that's a question that is, you know, it's how long is a piece of string in many respects. But I would like, because it's a general election year, I think he could have been quite radical and actually cut it significantly, not as far as 20 pence per litre, because that would mean something like a £12 saving per family car filling up at the forecourts. That would have been incredible, and that would really have brought down inflation rapidly, and more to the point, it would actually stimulate the economy, and therefore more investment for businesses because they'd have more profit, so there'd be more growth taxes, all those sorts of things. We could have tried it. About 2017, I think, we actually reduced VAT for a period of time just to try what would happen. And I think it could have been done. And we're always seeing Rishi Sunak saying, you know, we need to lead the world on various issues. Well, I'd like to see him lead the world on being the lowest tax motorist in the world. And that would have been something I would have applauded. Obviously, he didn't have the guts to do that. And he won't have the guts to do that because he'd be attacked very much by the environmentalists, the green lobby, those sorts of people. But the point is, none of people who drive cars aren't anti-cleaning the environment up or breathing clean air. What they want to do is actually put food on their table at the moment. And that's the sort of thing we need to balance. And what we need to do is invest in cleaner fuel technology without hitting people in the pocket.
The Chancellor claims the measures he's set out will deliver more opportunity and more prosperity. But the boss of a Kent charity says not enough support is being offered to those who are struggling the most. Neil Charlick is from Gillingham Street Angels, which helps people living in poverty.
The numbers of people using our services at the moment are up to 25,000 people a month who are coming for food. So we'd really like to see some kind of help for these people. Generally, budgets tend to help people who've already got money, which is not really no good to the people I deal with. I deal with the people who are struggling, vulnerable families, homeless people, people in temporary accommodation. And those people that are struggling, the numbers are just rising. It's a sad situation that they're in. And it doesn't seem to be getting any better. Our numbers are growing monthly. Every month our numbers just go up and up. And there's not much really seems to be done about kind of bringing it down or trying to tackle this problem. Most of the people I deal with can't afford a car, so a fuel cut's not going to help those. Stamp duty they're talking about, it's not going to help those. And most of them can't get a job. So if they can't get a job, income tax being reduced or national insurance being reduced isn't going to help them. I think the people who are struggling the most in society are the ones who really need help. And they're the people out there who are struggling. I mean, originally we were just homeless people, then it was people in supported accommodation. Now it's people in full-time employment. I mean, there needs to be something across the board. There's people, even like the winter fuel allowance, things like that. That goes across the board. Everybody gets that. You know, even people who don't need it. There seems this money needs to go to the right kind of people to make this worthwhile for the people that struggle already.
Elsewhere, Labour say announcements made in the budget won't undo the damage the Conservatives have done to the economy over 14 years.
Kent Online News.
A jury inquest is going to be held into the death of a man who reportedly fell into an open manhole on a building site in Thanet. 36-year-old David Archer had been working on the site in Manston near Ramsgate when he was fatally injured last November. Witnesses will be called, including the Health and Safety Executive Inspector. A play area in Folkestone's been cordoned off after another landslide. Cliffs have collapsed above the Lower Lees Coastal Park. Cracks have also appeared in newly laid tarmac on Madeira Walk. Council bosses say work's underway to stabilise the path, which will reopen when it's safe. It's feared it could cost millions of pounds to clean up waste from an illegal dumping scandal on Sheppey. Hundreds of lorry loads of rubbish was fly-tipped from cliffs and onto beaches at Eastchurch until officials blocked access to the site. MP Gordon Henderson says it went on for nearly 3 years.
We've been lobbying the Environment Agency for all that time. It was only the latter part of last year that we actually could say that, as far as we're aware, the dumping has now stopped. And I live in Warden Road, I live in Eastchurch, so I was witnessing the dumping, the dumper lorries, anything up to 50 a day going up through the village and up there and causing chaos. And we're still suffering the results of it from the shocking state of the roads and pavements where the lorries were abusing the road, and the after effects are still being felt. The after effects of the dumping, particularly from Third Avenue, where they were dumping general waste over there, which is still being washed up on the beach at Shellness and Warden, and as far away as Minster. We've got to be on our guard because the court order was only for 6 months. That's been renewed for another 6 months. So we've got to be on our guard in the future. And I can assure my constituents that, and not just because I live in the area, by the way, I would have done it anyway. I will immediately contact the Environment Agency and get action again should it reoccur. What we've got to do, of course, is we are still suffering the effects of what happened before, and one way or another we've got to try and ensure we get that cleaned up as quickly as possible. And I very much hope the Environment Agency or Swellora Council can come up with an answer to that particular problem. With the best will in the world, undertaking that is a mammoth task, and I'm not clear. Svalbard Council, I'm pretty sure, haven't got the resources to be able to do that. Whether the Environment Agency can do that is a matter for them. I very much hope that someone can do something about it, but it does show the irresponsible nature of the dumping that took place. And I would say this, that because it took so long for the Environment Agency to take action, we are in that position now. I mean, if they had taken action immediately, I raised this with them almost 3 years ago now, the amount of stuff that was actually tipped over the cliffs wouldn't be as much as it is at the moment. That's something that you ought to take up with the Environment Agency.
Well, we did just that and got a statement from the organisation. They say they're continuing with a criminal investigation, gathering evidence and working with Kent Police and other agencies across Swale. That includes regular visits to the site, and the spokesman says they'll continue to keep all enforcement options under constant review.
Kent Online reports.
A cleaner has been attacked while cleaning toilets in Herne Bay. They were reportedly pelted with plastic bottles and cans at the facilities in William Street at around 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Canterbury City Council says it will now be closing the public toilets at 2:30 p.m. for the rest of this week. A Chatham woman with more than 50 convictions has told a court she's moving in with her dad in a bid to stay away from Class A drugs. Katie Stafford admitted several offences, including taking a van without the owner's consent and driving without insurance or a licence. The 44-year-old from Gordon Road's been locked up for 18 weeks and banned from driving for a year. Former Kent miners say they have no regrets 40 years after going on strike. Workers at Tilmanstone, Snowdown and Bettshanger Collieries walked out as part of a nationwide fight to save them from closure. Reporter Sam Lennon's been speaking to Phil Sutcliffe and his wife Kay.
How do you look back on the whole episode now?
With anger, in some ways, because of what was done to the mining communities. But I think that we worked as hard as we could to try and keep the mines open and keep our community together.
There was a lot of strife and a lot of suffering. Was it worth it?
Definitely. Definitely it was. It gave us a real insight into how the government were trying to destroy the working class, really, and unions. As a miner's wife, at one time you might have thought that you're not going to be involved in anything, but then you understood how it affected families and communities everywhere, and you had to join in and support things.
We went on strike to try and save our pit and the community. We lost the pit, and the community has suffered as well as a consequence of that. We're still a united community, and miners and their wives, you know, and families still stick together in Elsham, but obviously with a pit gone, things change.
How's life for you now?
Yeah, I've been retired 10 years now. I'll keep myself busy. I volunteer here at the Elsham Heritage Centre, and I've done since 2006. I also volunteer over the new Kent Mining Museum as an ex-miner, taking people around as a museum guide.
Would you do all everything you did in 1986, the action you took, would you do it all again?
Yes, definitely.
Right. Why is that?
Well, because it was important. We had no choice. They were going to come and shut our pit. We said, no, you're not without a fight. So we put up a fight and tried to save it.
Despite the action, the mines all eventually closed. You can read our special report on this story over on the website.
Kent Online News.
Five people have been arrested after police stopped two suspicious vehicles in Deal and Sandwich. A van was stopped in Mungem Road on Tuesday morning, while a car which had earlier been travelling in a convoy with the van was stopped near the Discovery Park. Items including tools and torches were recovered, as well as suspected stolen fuel. We're told two critically endangered Sumatran orangutans are settling into their new home in Kent Well. The brothers have relocated from Switzerland to Portlaoise near Hythe. It's hoped they could eventually be relocated to the wild. Daisy Firmer will be working with them at the animal park.
The Sumatran orangutan, like the Bornean, is a critically endangered species. So for these guys, there's fewer than 14,000 left now. A lot of that is due to deforestation of habitat. So timber and logging has a really big impact on them, but nothing to the scale of palm oil. So unsustainable palm oil plantations are clearing such vast areas of their natural habitat at a rate that this species just can't recover from, can't keep up with. It's decreasing the amount of food they have, it's decreasing their habitat, so it's closing them in tighter together. And it's also causing a lot of problems for people that are residents of those areas as well. So you get a lot of human-wildlife conflict, which means they're moving into farmland, destroying farmland for food, and it's causing big issues for humans as well as it is for orangutans too. So it's why sustainable palm oil is so important now. In general, we are at a point now where we're in a mass extinction phase. We're facing a huge amount of conservation problems. Conservation is probably one of the biggest industries now that we need to focus on and we need to turn our attention to, and looking after our natural habitats and making sure that as human beings we take on our responsibility of living sustainably. There is a chance that rapid deforestation is going to mean that maybe not necessarily that we're going to lose that species altogether because of how important wildlife parks are for making sure that we provide homes and that we then have the future potential for rewilding. So hopefully if that is the worst case scenario that it happens, we can lean on places like this to have these numbers to then reintroduce when we have an opportunity to better those natural environments, to protect those forests, allow them that time for regrowth, and then reintroduce.
A pub near Canterbury is set to close despite the owners saying they gave everything to try and keep it open. The Checkers Inn in Petham had been empty for 3 years before being taken over in 2022. But Paula Gilbert and Steve McHugh say support hasn't been there. It's now thought the property could be converted into a house. And a seaside amusement arcade on Sheppey is set to get a £3 million makeover. Plans for Jimmy G's in Laysdown include adventure golf, augmented reality darts and a four-storey soft play area. They're also hoping to add a show bar and sun terrace. The council should make a decision in May.
Kent Online Sports.
Football, and Gillingham have once again slipped out of the League Two playoff places after losing to Barrow. The Gills were beaten 2-0 last night, their first defeat in four matches. Head coach Stephen Clements spoke to reporters after the game.
I felt we was a little bit off it today. We haven't been probably hit the levels that we have done recently. I think obviously going to Salford on a very heavy pitch the other day and putting in a great performance. Always when you play two away games on the spin, it's difficult, especially the amount of miles we've done in the last few days. I don't want to use that as an excuse, but I did feel we was a little bit flat, and I'd have to look at myself there. Maybe I could have changed the team. Should I have changed the team? Obviously, I'll be thinking about that for the next 24 hours. But look, the game's done now. I think Barrow probably worthy winners. We didn't create enough. I think the first goal was always going to be important. Comes from, a second phase in a set play, and I think the second goal is a fairly decent finish from their centre forward. We dust ourselves off and we'll dust ourselves down, and we'll get ready to go again on Saturday. And can we start a new run now?
Yeah, absolutely. We kind of gradually got more imposed ourselves during the second half, yeah. Of corners towards the end. It just didn't really fall for us in the final third where we needed it.
No, we didn't create enough today. We had plenty of the ball and tried to change the system in the second half to see if that could open them up more. But I have to say, Barrow are very well organised. They're very tough to break down. They have been all season. That's why they've been in the top seven for most of the season. It was difficult. And I think, we just didn't have that bit of spark about us today that we needed.
Midfielder Johnny Williams says the whole team is disappointed with yesterday's result.
We've got a belief now off the back of a few good results that we can beat anyone in the league. And again, we were full of confidence to come here and get 3 points, and we haven't. And to be honest, I think probably the better side won tonight, which is hard to say, but to be honest, yeah, I think we were beat by the better team.
Sometimes you wait for that spark or that moment just to kick you into gear. We just didn't quite have that moment, especially in the first half.
Yeah, no, definitely. The first goal's a sucker punch. We're very good when we go 1-0 up, and we've showed a couple of times when we go 1-0 down. we can come back on a couple of occasions, and we still had that belief at half time at 1-0 we could, you know, come away with a point, if not three. But yeah, no, it didn't come. The first goal was really scrappy. You know, I think we got overloaded at the back post and Clarke couldn't do much. He was overloaded at the back and they got a lucky bounce and Cat had no chance. And the second one's a great strike, to be fair, off the back of maybe a controversial decision going against Hawks at the other end, but we didn't get any decisions tonight going our favour.
So. So one of those, you just think, got to take this one on the chin, train me on Saturday, best start a new run.
Yeah, no, we haven't got time to feel sorry for ourselves. We're still well in the promotion pack, chasing a playoff position, so we haven't got time. We've got another big week coming up, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, and massive thanks to the fans that travelled all that way on the Tuesday night. It's exceptional. We were so thankful for that, and yeah, we're sorry we couldn't give them something to go home with.
They'll be hoping to bounce back when they host Tranmere Rovers this weekend. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.